Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday, I guess. Oh, man. Jeffrey, worst night last night. Grizzlies, Shador Sanders.
I think you have to say Shador because in the end, like, while the Grizzlies night absolutely, utterly sucked, there wasn't the expectation of last night was going to change the series. It was just the, let's get a win.
Well, interestingly enough, so we've got a busy show today. We got Jason Smith, who wasn't here last week and is going to make a return appearance. We'll talk to him next. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He was there late in the evening. And then we got John Stacy, who is a Memphis football guy, a long time. John goes to every Memphis football game, and he drives to every Memphis football game, including games at UCLA, for example, right? He has some ridiculous streak of being at every Memphis football game and driving to all of them, as far as I can tell. And it's a spring game tomorrow, by the way, and so we'll talk to him a little bit about that. But more to the point, he has a program by which he folks donate tickets, and he then sends veterans to Memphis football games. People of generally, it's veterans who are affiliated with the VA hospital, and they've got a great program there. And some, you know, some have undergone extraordinary trauma and PTSD and whatever else. And as a group, they have this wonderful program that he's done for years now, where he sends veterans to Memphis football games. And he asked to come on and talk about that program a little bit. It's possible he wants some of you to pitch in as donors. By the way, it helps, you know, it's win-win because it helps the University of Memphis, obviously, fannies in the seats. And it also then helps, you know, a good cause, folks who have served this country, sending them to a game for fun and community. So we'll talk to John after that. But we have a massive amount to talk about. And it's funny when you say not much is at stake for the Grizzlies. Chris has an interesting column in his piece at the Daily Memphian in that he even does venture. He's not so bold as to say, hey, the Grizzlies were going to win this series, but for what we all know happened. But he did say that it appeared they had unlocked something over the second half of game two and the first half of game three that could have turned this into a dramatically more competitive series. So we'll talk to Chris about his column. Again, it's Jason Smith, then Chris Harrington, then Shador Sanders. You, of course, have an array of televisions.
Yes.
How many? Three?
So we have three on the wall for last night.
Okay, so what was your, what'd you have where?
So we had the draft on until the Grizzlies game started on TV1. So we had draft TV.
Okay, but which draft broadcast? I think this is an important question because you got.
No, I got this question a lot last night. So I went with NFL Network, and there's a couple of reasons. Number one, Rich Eisen's been my guy.
So wait a second. So you, on ESPN, it was Greeny and Kuiper.
No. Yeah. That was the ESPN. That was and the ABC ESPN. Was the
ABC
college.
ABC was the college. Correct. The game day crew, including Saban is on that one. And then you've got Rich Eisen and...
Rich Eisen, Daniel Jeremiah.
Really? That's the one that I absolutely would not have done.
Okay, so number one, you have to eliminate ABC immediately.
Why?
ABC's on the delay, and so the picks were way behind because it's network television. Oh.
For me, the thing about ABC is, and the only real, I go, for me, the draft is Mel, right? And so that's what I'm watching. I would like to hear what Saban said about these players.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only, and these are guys he's still coached and coached against.
Recruited, too.
And recruited. Yeah. So, and by the way, some crazy number, 26 of them were either Big Ten or SEC players.
It's 26 to 32.
It's just, holy crap.
And by the way, that's not changing.
26 of 32 SEC or Big Ten. Just staggering. So I really missed what Saban would have said. Hell, a bunch of them are guys he literally recruited to Alabama.
Yeah.
So you went, why?
So
you eliminated ABC.
I don't know how many people realize, but NFL Network's largely going away. So they're going to sell off all their inventory to ESPN. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Why?
It doesn't make them that much money. Like, in the end, it was...
Who is them? The NFL?
Yeah.
Them is the NFL?
League. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are they selling to the ESPN? Like,
the library. They're selling the library. They're actually selling Red Zone. And basically, the NFL is going to be a partial owner of ESPN.
So there will be no NFL Network. Won't be able to flip to a channel that says NFL Network.
Most likely, that's where it's headed. Because originally when it was launched, for like the same reason the Big Ten Network, the SEC Network, where everyone thought these league specific channels were the ways of making gobbles and gobbles of money. But then as cord cutting started, they realized the inventory that matters is the live games, and so they just sold those for about $150 million a pop.
And so will some of the shows, will Rich Eisen transition to ESPN?
That's a great question because...
So you did it as sentiment.
Yes.
Goodbye, old friend.
Yes. I'm with Rich. Rich has been one of my favorite sportscasters since I was like seven. So I was going down with the ship. Saban talks about, you're going to see, there's so many clips and everything, and then you can always flip back and forth. I find myself at times flipping a little bit.
I was grateful. Okay. It was ridiculous that the Grizzlies game started that late for everybody who cared about the Grizzlies, right?
Because they held the game
forever. And it was, you know, and let's be honest, the crowd, while loud and into it, was not a typical playoff crowd. And so you have a combination of a season that's ending dismally and then a series that starts dismally and then a 8:30 tip. That gets later than that, and you're just not going to, you know.
I think 8:45 is when they tipped it.
But for the draft fans among us, I was going to be at both. It really worked out perfect. We got all the drama of the draft, including the Jaguars-Cleveland trade, Travis Hunter going to the Jags. We got all of that. Up to probably the 10th pick, 11th pick.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Before the game even started.
I'll tell you when it was right when I feel like I flipped it over when the Colts were picking.
I went up to my seat at 10. But then you're right. I think I saw Tyler Warren to the Colts before the game actually tipped off. So there was a lot to consume, and obviously there was a lot to talk about. I would urge you to read Chris Harrington's piece at the Daily Memphian and Drew Hill's piece at the Daily Memphian. I dip in on Grizzlies coverage now, occasionally, now that I'm not a full-time sports writer, but nobody does a better job than those two of covering this team. And once again, if you want to get a real picture of what happened last night, you should read them at the Daily Memphian. We'll be talking to Chris later. Obviously, it's a incredible gut punch and turn of events. So much so that one of my social media correspondents wrote me. He just lumped this night in with all the other bad things that ever happened and have ever happened in Memphis sport and
right.
message. Here we go. Ready?
I'm ready.
From the near perfect game of Bill Walton in 73, the Dana Kirk betting scandal in 85, the Penny Hardaway Prop 48 1991. All these things, by the way, are fresh, I'm sure, in his mind. Cincinnati Bearcats, four straight wins, 91 to 92. The NFL expansion, the David Vaughn injury, 1992, the Larry Finch firing, 97, the Jerry Lawler non-winning world title in its prime early 80s. Do you remember this? Was that a thing? Jerry Lawler was robbed?
Yeah, so when he moves to WWF, but this is...
I didn't know that would
predates,
be lumped in with all the others.
That predates me, because...
This continues. 0-12 playoff pow, 04, 05, 06. The Zeebo knee injury, January 1, 2012.
Can I take a moment?
Uh-huh.
The Grizzlies were not 0-12 because of Pau Gasol.
No, he didn't call them. He just, whatever. No, they weren't. They clearly weren't. They were in the playoffs because of Pau. The first home court playoff exit versus Clippers 2012. Swept in Western Conference Finals 2013. 28-player NBA record roster 2016. Mike Conley facial injury and Tony Allen hamstring versus Warriors 2015. Ja Morant injury versus Warriors 2022. Steven Adams injury versus Kings 2023, Jazz gun suspension 2023, the whole 2024 Grizz season, and the 25 meltdown since All-Star break, plus breaking unwanted record for this playoff run, the Tubby Smith era, Hardaway's 1-7 NCAA tournament record. Is that right? Is
he No.
I think he's talking about games he played and games he coached? What's the, I don't know what that refers to.
No, he made it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, so why is it when he won a game?
He's saying one NCAA tournament win in 7 years.
Oh, that's it. That's right? Exactly what it is. The 2 minutes, 8-point lead collapse, 2008 championship game. No love like Memphis love. Now, a lot of those are not like the others.
I was going to say, there's a lot of range in that.
There's a lot of them are totally unlike the others. And so they are all bad things that happened. And in the grand seismic scheme, as you point out, because the stakes were never felt like, despite Chris Harrington's theory, which we'll get into, and which we'll get into with Chris, something was maybe changing a little bit in this series. The stakes were never, hey, they could win this series and go on a long championship playoff run. So you really can't put this up alongside. Like, if you go back to the, I mean, there's no question the David Vaughn injury was massive to those Tigers and what they hoped for. But if you go back to the Mike Conley injury and the Tony Allen injury, that playoff season, lots of things seemed possible, right?
Well, and I mean, you were playing the team that ends up winning the championship.
Yeah, you were up two to one. You were up 2-1 on the team that ended
with
up winning
home,
the championship.
With home court.
And so... But for the broken face and the hamstring, both of those injuries, and we'll see what happens with Ja and what in terms of the future. But in terms of last night and what was at stake, this injury was not like those because the stakes were smaller. But the stakes were not nothing. And the stakes included what was lost last night. And you'll have various people and lots of stories out there today talking about, that 29-point lead blown, biggest ever. Like this was some freaking glorious comeback by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And to be clear, they're an awesome team, and not every team, even with Ja going out, could have come back from 29 down. And I do give them full credit for that.
You have to hold the Grizzlies to 31 points in the second half.
But it never, ever, 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 ever would have happened. They were on their way. Here's the truth. I don't know how much of a fan of figure skating you were, but you clearly remember the... Kerrigan Harding thing.
I've seen Itanya.
You've seen Itanya. I had to look this up last night, and I was going to make a reference to it in my column, and then I just decided, it's too far back, too obscure. Tanya did win the U.S. championship that year. Why? Because Kerrigan
was out.
Kerrigan was out. So that was a little more intentional than last night's, but I'm not sure Tanya would have won that. But for what happened to Kerrigan, and I will tell you, they were on the way. It may have only been one night, right? It may well have only been one night. But it was one night. And sometimes
it's your night.
As you're headed into the offseason, having that night means something.
Agreed.
It's one night when the fans are having a blast. It's one night when the streamers fall from the sky. It's one night when the Thunder have to walk off with their heads down and talk about what happened. It's one night when Whoop That Trick rumbles through FedEx Forum. It's one night when Ja looks like Ja and the Grizzlies look like the Grizzlies and they've got their swagger and you're not swept. And damn it, it's that one night.
Totally agree with you.
And it was all of that last night. Like, they came out, and Scottie Pippen was just bombing away. And that he, there's no question he set the tone, but it wasn't all Scottie Pippen. He set the tone. It was not all Scottie Pippen. And by the end, you had, like, there was a play where it was Jaren to Ja. Ja barely even touched the ball. It was a volleyball pass immediately to Edie. I mean, they were swaggering, and it was on, baby. And there was the play where Ja cruises out on the break and just he could have easily laid it in, and instead it's such a laugher. He just flips it to Kennard. Kennard's smiling, lays it in. The lead's building from 15 to 20 to 25 to 20 freaking 9. I mean, it was. I had written the column yesterday, and I'll be honest, I felt a little bit like a homer writing this column. But I meant it, and I gave people reasons to go, and I actually heard from at least one person, I'll take credit for one person who went to the game because they read my column, and Desi, and she, a former neighbor, and she was so discouraged about the Grizzlies, she was not going to go. And she read my column, and she went. And I was corresponding with her during the game, and she was so glad that she was there. Anyone who was there as this romp was unfolding, you were finally doing to the Thunder what they had done to you. Someone even said to me, this could turn out badly, but wouldn't it be kind of sweet to beat him by 51? Like,
no, I felt
like all of that.
Because I was like, I think at a certain point, the Thunder were going to wave the white flag. Like, you know what? We'll get them in game four,
yeah, right.
And we'll
get
come back and win it at home. And I did start doing like, could they?
And then Ja goes down.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And the play clearly wasn't intentional. There's nothing intentional about it. I mean, honestly, I mean, there were those in the locker room who said, yeah, you undercut a guy. But Ja tried to jump over him. Like, Ja tried to jump over him. And he goes down on his hip. It was not instantly clear to us. I don't know if it was to you watching on TV what the injury was as he lay on the floor. And I mean, he literally looks like a broken toy on the floor that is dropped from a 10-story building. He's just collapsed on the floor.
The only clue was that when the medical staff ran out to him, like they were, you could tell like they went to the hip. That was the only indicator.
I mean, looking at the fall, I thought it was going to be a wrist.
Yeah. Honestly, my first thought was like, it looked kind of like Jalen's fall, except without the blood face. Like,
yeah.
But I was like you. I was thinking wrist.
It is kind of freaking ridiculous. This team has had two falls in the last however much, from 8 feet in the air, 10 feet in the air, completely defenseless. And he shoots the free throws to keep the possibility open that he could be in the game. But then he leaves, takes off his jersey as he's leaving, and he never returns. And then it just became an exercise in grim hanging on. A slow drip is what Harrington called it in his column. It actually became quite the torrent of a drip after a while. They kept it to 26 at halftime, and so you're like, oh, maybe.
Well, the car hits the buzzer beater, and you're like, oh, maybe that.
I mean, that's going to be the cushion they need. But that was it. It was simply a question of
would they
run out of time? Would the time run out before the comeback was successful? Could they hang on? Like every shot they made was like, okay, that'll give them a little more cushion. But then when they get down to 8 by the start of the fourth quarter, you're like, this is done. And it was, listen, if you want to say that even without Ja, you should score 31 points and a half, I can hear that. You've got Jaren, who's about to make $300 million or more.
Maybe.
You got Dez, who, Jaren was fine. You got Dez, who makes 2-3. What's Dez make?
I thought it was like 38.
It was just god awful. Like, he couldn't hit a shot. Like, Dez was not good last night. Sure, I'll hear that. You got Santi and Luke, who between them, 3 of 12 from 3, I think. I'll be honest, I didn't prepare for the show. I went home. I went to bed at 3 or 4 and slept for a few hours.
Santi was 2 for 8 from 3. And then who else were we including
Luke
in that
was
one?
1 of 4.
And Luke was 1 of 4. Yeah. So 3 of 12.
So 3 of 12. I had it right. So they're 3 of 12. Santi gets the air ball. Like there were. There's plenty of. If you want to get into this exercise of saying, but it almost just didn't matter. Like, it just didn't matter. It didn't matter. And the truth of the matter is, and this is the way Scottie Pippen put it. I mean, just point out, you got one ball handler then. Like, Scottie Pippen has to be a different Scottie Pippen when he doesn't play with Ja.
Yep.
Right? You can credit, and we should credit Scottie Pippen for being a beast last night, but it's much easier for him when Ja's there, right?
Like 100%, because he's not a point guard. He's a point guard because he has to be the
ball handler. It's totally different. And he can spot Ja minutes when he is the backup ball handler, but I mean, Ja enables Scottie Pippen to be Scottie Pippen. The shots that he is getting and hitting are different because Ja is on the floor. But more to the point, they are a team that exerts hellacious defensive pressure. And without Ja, you got one ball handler who isn't a great ball handler. And all of a sudden, the Grizzlies had one turnover through most of the first half.
Yep.
One! They'd been just getting caved on the turnovers and the points off turnovers. They had one turnover through most of the first half, and they ended up 22. What did they end up with turnovers? They had seven turnovers, by contrast, in the third quarter as the lead gets cut from 26.
They finished with 16.
To 8. They finished with 16. So they had one, and they finished with 16.
Yeah.
So, and seven of them came in the third quarter when the Thunder just cranked up the pressure and the Grizzlies had nothing. Here's the truth. This team, and to the extent that this series has exposed anything or this whatever, what is exposed is the roster's got serious deficiencies. The roster is not the Oklahoma City roster. It's not even close to the roster that we hoped it would be, because Gigi Jackson is this Gigi Jackson and not the one that we had wished for. Vince is this Vince and not the one we had wished for. He saw action last night to take a foul after Ja hit that. Like, that's what Vince has been reduced to. And then on top of it, you're now without Jalen and the real Brandon Clark. So your roster isn't the Oklahoma City roster anyway. Then you're without Brandon and Jalen. And so, now we got to be perfect to hang on. And if we aren't perfect, we'll get blown out by 51 or 19, which has happened in the two previous games. And then on top of it, you lose Ja? You're just done. You're physically overmatched, and you are emotionally just 100% crumbling. And so we have what we have. And instead of a glorious, glorious night, and that's what I regret most, I just regret that you were supposed to get this one night. The players were supposed to get this one night. The fans were supposed to get this one night. The franchise, as they headed out into the off season, you get this one night when you're reminded. And as it unfolded, I was thinking to myself, God, isn't it fun to watch this? Like, so many people have the pendulum has swung the other way and have concluded that this Grizzlies team is trash or something. Like, they're not trash. They're a 48-win team. And isn't it nice to see them be this version of themselves and to be reclaiming their pride and reminding people, not such a bad basketball team. And then that happens and they fall completely apart. And so I just lament what could have been. And not just what could have been, what was happening before my eyes during one of the breaks. And you didn't get to see this at home, but Grizzlies are up 26 or something at this point. It was right after Ja handed off to Luke Kennard, who smilingly, laughingly, because it was a laugher at that point, put it in. And they cut to Z-Bo. And Z-Bo's there, and he's holding a growl towel. Like, Z-Bo with a growl towel, as the place is just bouncing. And then they go to Tony, and Tony's there. And Tony thumps his heart. And you're thinking, my God, this is like all the feels from 2011 and 2013 and whatever the hell it was, seasons blend together. But all those feels, it was the present and it was the past, and who knew what the future held, but there was that one night. And instead we got what we got. And it doesn't feel like, listen, be honest, game fours are not the make your stand games when you're down 0-3, typically. Who the hell wants to go back to Oklahoma City to lose? Just to lose. And I don't know. Doesn't feel like Ja's going to be playing to me.
I don't think Ja's playing the rest of the year.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I will say the last, because Mark and I were talking, I was like, it feels to me a lot like the 06 Mavs series, where they came home,
you never had like the lead, obviously they did, but they were up like 9 with 90 seconds left. And you were thinking, all right, here's the win. And then that game 4 was just like, that's the first time I remember.
Four, the Jaeger crying game,
yep.
Where that team was overmatched. It's a little bit more to me because in the end, there was no. What year was that? 16? What year? Whatever. It was the year they get swept by the Spurs. They make the
playoffs. Yeah, 16.
And they're broken. It's the year that they had 28 16. Players missing, whatever else. And there was no recrimination involved. It wasn't, there was no indignity to that sweep because you knew they weren't supposed to. And there will be no recriminations in terms of what happened Saturday. And indeed, there weren't I can't believe that this team has had in 2012, they blew a 24-point lead in the fourth quarter, and that one you would come in and you would talk about, I cannot believe this team blew that lead.
Yeah.
Or you go back again, we were talking about the bad moments of Memphis history past, and I can't believe the Memphis Tigers blew that lead to Kansas, right? There are those moments. I cannot believe we had them and we let them off the hook.
Right.
It's the Atlanta Falcons and the Pats.
28-3.
24-point fourth quarter lead to lose by a point to the Clippers in 2012. That was, how could you do that? How could you do that? This was not that. This game ended when Ja fell to the ground. And this was not your ignominious collapse. This was, oh my God, this was it being ripped away from you. It was the fates ripping this away from you. And so now here's the thing. The one problem with all of this, Jeffrey, is that you can sit here and you can say, oh my God, can you believe the bad luck? The problem is this is part of the package.
Yep.
This is what happens with Ja. This is what happens when you play, when you are an aerialist. This is the season where Ja was no longer going to dunk. You remember that?
Yes. We were making layups cool again.
Yeah. And so it's not, in fact, some fluke injury. It's a Ja injury. It's a Ja injury. Much more so than, honestly, for Jalen Wells, right? Like, this is what happens to
Ja. Yeah, you can talk me into Jalen's is kind of a
this thing. This is at least Chris in his column counted. He said this is his fourth injury of the season. This is, so you're like, oh my God, I can't believe the bad luck of this. The Tony Allen hamstring, right?
Sure.
The Mike Conley broken face. Those are like, oh my God, I can't believe this happens. With Ja, we don't know what the injury is going to look like, and I'm not blaming him, but this is what happens. It's part of the package, and you have to grapple with that as you think about the future. We'll talk to Jason Smith about all of this in the next segment. But before we do, I think I want to shift gears just a little bit, Jeffrey, and talk about hit that little chime. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So let's tick off some of the topics real quick, and then we'll get to Jason here in a minute. Winners and losers, Cleveland or Jacksonville?
I mean, I think you have to say Cleveland because, like, in the end, they've been fighting uphill since they made the Deshaun trade. They now have some capital to where they actually can.
I loved it for Cleveland. Now, didn't Cleveland, though, someone pointed out that it was Cleveland, and maybe this was on the broadcast and I wasn't, that it was Cleveland who traded down for Julio Jones? Wasn't that? Remember when Atlanta went up to get him and got ultimately a Hall of Fame player?
Is that the 2012 draft?
And it was Cleveland that traded down, and I think they drafted a defensive tackle named Phil Taylor, who was a big dude, who was whatever else, but like, who are the Hall of Famer? You know, Hall of Famer, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to go on a big limb, good to have Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. Like, I look at it in context. Like,
I loved it for Cleveland. Here's my only argument, honestly, with Cleveland, because I heard people saying my only objection to it from Cleveland was that they didn't keep trading down, right? And that's fine. If they had traded down again, it feels like there was a tier of player. And so maybe they could have traded 10 and gotten the same tier of player and whatever and gotten more stuff. My only question is, like, there's this thought that Cleveland is finally recognizing, we're going to take a deep breath. We don't need to go get our quarterback. We're going to rebuild now. We're going to have lots of assets, and we're going to rebuild now, and we're going to be in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. That's when we're going to get our quarterback. That was this sense I'd heard. But then how does signing 30-year-old, 29-year-old, 29-year-old Myles Garrett to a massive contract? If you're going to do this, why not trade Myles Garrett for picks, too?
You are correct. Julio was at 6. I mean, at a certain point, you do have to, like, I think there's a business side of it. Like, your fans were, you're just going to let Myles walk. Like, at a certain point, you have to, like, make a statement of, like,
I guess,
keeping him.
But as a fan, it would not have outraged me if this is what they're doing, that if you could have also traded Myles Garrett for 3 firsts.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but I think, like, at a certain level, you have to at least, have to at least give some reasons to come into the building.
All right, so there's that one. How about Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders? No surprise there.
He's going to look so good in a Raiders uniform.
It's funny, for some reason, I'm a little skeptical about him.
Size?
Like, even when they were showing the side-to-side Emmett, they were showing side-to-side clips of Emmett Smith and Ashton Jeanty, and I'm like, Emmett's bigger, and Emmett's a little more, he looks a little bitty. He looks a little itty-bitty, I was all for the Lions getting Jahmyr Gibbs, because he's just crazy explosive and elusive, and Jeanty is... I just worry he's a guy who's taken 30 carries a game, and maybe he'll be elect. Maybe he'll be, you know, maybe let's be like LaDainian Tomlinson. Right?
I will say this. When he was on the field with Oregon,
he looked
Oregon couldn't
good.
Do anything with him.
And I hope for the Raiders' sake and whatever. I hope it works out. The controversial move by the Atlanta Falcons
to get Pierce.
Who traded. So they drafted Jalen Walker from Georgia.
Which, did you see this note? This is the first time since 1966 that the Falcons have taken a Georgia player in either the first or second round. That was like so wild. I was like, that can't be right.
That's crazy.
That was insane to me.
So they get Jalen Walker, who falls to them, and they need pass rushing.
I would imagine that pick took all of 6 seconds.
Yeah, right.
Like, they got
Georgia
made it.
Pass rusher, whatever. And so the good for them, whatever. But then they go back up and whatever. Like, James Pierce is a guy who's been, and UT fans, know him better than anyone. He is absolutely electric off the edge. And yet there were a lot of concerns, you know, when you say character concerns, who the hell knows what that means? But there were character concerns, and there were concerns about, is the only thing he does is.
He didn't have a great year this year.
Yeah.
There were a lot of times this year where you just didn't even notice him.
So, I'm fine. Listen, I'd be thrilled if I were a Falcons fan adding 2 pass rushers. That's better than adding, like, it's like the Rams last year.
100%.
Went and got doubled up on defensive line. Good for them. It worked out, seemed to work out well for them. The only problem is you give up a future one to go do it. A future one to get back up late in this first round? That seemed crazy to me. Seemed like a crazy overpayment. To me. By contrast, your Giants.
Yes.
Your Giants, after doing what everyone expected, drafting Abdul Carter with the first pick, they go back up and they don't have to give up a future first. They give up whatever. They gave up
basically a third. Like, I think it was a pick swap in the second, a third, and a fifth.
To get Jackson Dart. Your thoughts?
So the last time, obviously, the Giants traded up to get a Ole Miss quarterback in the first round, it worked out for me.
They traded up to get Eli.
So that worked out for me. I don't know. I just feel like I'm always in these, I work myself into these weird spots where I was screaming from the rooftops when Jackson was a sophomore and he was coming under fire. I was like, this guy's good.
Right.
Like, I believe in this guy. This guy is good. He misses some throws. He's not perfect, but I got talked
was
into.
Was he your QB2? Who wears he on the?
I still had Shador ahead.
You still had Shador
ahead. But I also, if you're saying, if I'm just ranking quarterbacks, I would have had Shador ahead. If I were ranking quarterbacks for the Giants, I would have had Jackson ahead.
You never believed in Shador.
Rabbit ears, baby.
Who else, and I never know, like, whatever. Again, I'm the guy who was cursing when the Bills drafted Josh Allen instead of Josh Rosen.
Well, that was the other spin zone. It's like, first off, with quarterbacks, who knows?
So, but in terms of picks that I thought that were like, oh my God, that's a good pick. I'll tell you who jumped out to me. The Ravens and the Eagles just sit there and they have good players, like really good players, fall to them.
Yeah.
Good players from good programs who are game-changing good players at what they do, and that's what they did last night. Malachi Starks falls to the Ravens, and...
We'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's just like, we'll take that.
And then the Eagles trade up to get Jahad Campbell.
Jahad Campbell, the Eagles get, they trade up flop with the Chiefs, whatever.
Yeah.
And they just get him at 31. 31? Where was
31.
It? Yeah, at 31. And so they just basically sit there and these awesome players from awesome programs and they just say, thank you very much. And that irritates me. That irritates me. And the Chiefs got a tackle who I think is probably going to be good. That irritates, falls to them a little bit because of injury stuff. And so I suspect he's going to be good. Anyone else strike you particularly?
I mean, I just loved Harbaugh taking a running back. It's, you know, like in the end, like Harbaugh is exactly what I want him to
be. Himself.
Yes.
All right. Jason Smith coming up next. Oh, this would be a great weekend to get to Oak Hall. I was literally just telling Charles that I need to get to Oak Hall. And I was explaining the things I needed. Like, I got married in pants from Oak Hall. Of course I did. I want to look my best, right? And a sport coat and everything else. You know what's happened? I've got ink on those pants, Jeffrey. And I can't wear them anymore. I mean, I can wear them out and about, but they can't be, I got to go get those. Some other pants I had, you know, they just become a little loose fitting over the 4 or 5 years that I've had them. And they're just beautiful clothes from Oak Hall. So I need to get in. I need to get some slacks. I need to get some new polos, some fresh polos. It's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be out in our backyards. We're going to be going on trips. I got a bunch of weddings I got to go to. It's that time of year. So I got to get some polos. I got to get some sport shirts. I got to get some slacks. I love the Brax slacks, pants from Oak Hall. So, I'm going to head in there this weekend and I suggest you do too. We can have our ups and downs as a sports town, but we have one of the great clothing stores in America. Clothes are beautiful, and the people are fantastic. So get into Oak Hall this weekend. Jason Smith coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then John Stacy, and then more on who knows what. It's a busy day here on the Jeff Gawkin Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hi, right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason, what'd you think about the Bears draft pick? The Bears drafted a tight end. It just wasn't the tight end that most people expected. I had to tell Drew, I thought he was, hey, calm down. I think he's going to be really good. Your thoughts?
Somebody had told me the same thing essentially first. And I was informed by a great listener, Denny Williams, also a Bears fan, I think a Cubs fan as well, much like Drew, that Ben Johnson ran third most two tight end sets in Detroit in the league last year. So you think about the fact that you got Cole Kmet, you just gave him $50 million over 4 years before last season. He likes two tight end sets. This guy runs routes. I mean, it was the same thing for Tyler Warren, but the way the Michigan kid runs routes, I got to get used to him. Colston Loveland, because again, I was set on, okay, if we take Warren, it'll work. But he's much like one of those prototype tight ends that can be a big receiver for you, big target. So it's two. It's him, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze, you obviously are hoping for a big jump in year two now that the old man is out of there. Why am I blanking on the Chargers right now? He's a free agent, I think. Caught 7 touchdowns for us last year. Was playing out the last year of his deal. Anyway, it's time for Rome to step up in the 2 spot. And you got weapons. You got big weapons for Caleb. So I've been talked into it.
My only misgivings is honestly is that my Bills drafted a tight end recently. I think tight ends. And Brock Bowers obviously was a wildly successful tight end, has been a wildly successful tight end and pick for the Raiders. But tight ends, a lot of times, they come in the third or fifth or seventh round. And first round tight ends, I don't think there's usually a great correlation. Even like the Lions get Sam Laporta late in the draft, the same draft that the Bills got later in the draft, the same draft the Bills got Dalton Kincaid. So I'm not sure that it's an easy
I told others I thought we had greater needs at defensive line. You need a and Keenan Allen is that receiver who's out of there now, that old aging receiver who's a free agent now that had Rome as the 3 last year. But no, I made the same point to some of the folks that were telling me, hey, we got a weapon here and you got to trust Ben. Is that I just thought there were greater needs and can you sort of strike in that position maybe a little bit later on. But listen, here's what happened. I mean, this is why, maybe I'm not up in the stars about this, but John, during our show, had talked me into the Bears were getting Ashton Jeanty. The Bears have become the betting favorite to get Ashton Jeanty. And so, I'm taking that information, and as soon as I'm getting off the show, I'm telling my kid, when he, son, huge development while you were in school, let me tell you, Bears look like we're going to get Ashton Jeanty, and that means we got to move up because, of course, he's favored to go at 5. We're making a move. And so I come home from a little bit later on from they had a board meeting at my kid's school and parental board advisory meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not on any boards at my kid's school. But anyway, I get home. He's in front of the TV. He's ready to get Ashton Jeanty. We're literally waiting on it so much so that I talked myself and I think I talked him into it that maybe Cleveland would sit up, maybe trade down with us and then allow us to get up to 5 to get him. But no, John, who led me astray with his betting lines and everything else, ends up getting Ashton Jeanty. And so there was a little bit of that disappointment because I had obviously let my kid down. I don't need to be telling my 11-year-old about betting odds and all that stuff. I should just let him get involved if he wanted to. But he was certainly let down. But hey, at the end of it, man, you got another weapon. Ben Johnson supposed to be this offensive genius. You got 2 picks today. Let's work.
Should the Browns now turn around and take Shador?
You have to get a quarterback in there. I would. I mean, he's accurate enough. I mean, he's more than accurate enough. He's phenomenally accurate, and there's, you know, they are in a rebuild that's going to take a while, and so there is no pressure there for him to immediately come in and get you wins, although that situation's got to be greatly improved, obviously. Probably so at this point. Now, I'm going to tell you what, Jalen Milroe can do a lot of things, and depending upon how those interviews went, I mean, I would have talked to Jalen Milroe because I just keep going back to the Georgia game. Now, Jalen Milroe could be, you know, sort of what we've seen with Anthony Richardson. Now, part of that is I think the way they've you know, rushed Anthony Richardson out there. But my point is just he has not, you know, in terms of the mental part of the game, he hasn't grasped it yet. And so is Jalen Milroe going to be that, or could he be a guy that you could develop? He could be electric in terms of a runner in the league, Lamar Jackson-like. But if you could, you know, if you could get him as a guy who could do the routine things throwing, I mean, my gosh. So my point is that if you watch Jalen Milroe and everything that he did, he was awful in some of the Senior Bowl practices and all of that. We've seen him at awful, but you've also seen him at good. And if you've got time to develop and you don't have to rush anybody, I would just say I wouldn't fault a general manager for picking Milroe or the kid out of Louisville before Shadua.
It'll be fascinating. And I know you watch Get Up. I collapsed last night at 3:30 in the morning and just barely woke up before this radio show. So what are they talking about, where the landing spots for Shadur and what's going to happen with
Shadur? I mean, yeah, you Cleveland and who's going to take him second round, and could he fall from the top of the second round? That's sort of what, and I said to my dad, it's funny you asked me that question, because it felt like they were spending more time on his slide than they were on the actual picks. Now, I didn't see all of Get Up this morning and drop the kid off, but at least for the part I saw, much of it was that. And Marcus Spears credited him, I thought. You know, he said this is sexy talk because it's so easy to have the conversation. Really, he's kind of saying lazy. Have the conversation. What dresses it up is we can blame. Are we going to blame this on Deion, or are we going to blame it on arrogance? But the fact is, you know, you've had a bunch of great quarterbacks, including Jalen Hurts, that have dropped down to the second round. This shouldn't be so much of a story. He was essentially saying it while being asked to be one of the analysts to discuss it and drag it on.
It is kind of cheap. It's talking about the name and the quarterback.
100%, man. I mean, that's all it is. And so what Spears was saying, I was like, man, preach on, move on, and let's talk about the guys that were taken. And sure, you hit, you know, for a small segment, who you think's going to take Shadur. But that kid, I mean, I don't know. Some folks, I'm sure, out there feel like, well, this is comeuppance. If they had come up to this belief, you know, most of us hadn't been in any interviews with him, that he's some arrogant, you know, kid that needed a humbling. I mean, well, that certainly felt like one yesterday, and it just seems like time to back off. Been a bunch of great quarterbacks, been drafted. And say, it's no slight that this kid fell where he did, and congrats to Jackson Dart. And friggin' Jason Fitz came on about 2.5 weeks ago and said that was going to happen. He was the first I'd heard that said. I mean, it is remarkable where Shadur was once mocked, where he is now. I mean, I don't remember Will Levis ever being a guy who was mocked once. Top three, am I wrong? Jeffrey would know that. It is a huge slide, but they have overdone it. And I love me some Get Up, I'll say that, but they have absolutely overdone it with the Shadur slide coverage.
Yeah, Levis, I mean, there were some people that,
heading into that year, some people had him literally number one, but not QB once one. The year unfolded, I don't think.
But I mean, he was supposed to be. I mean, he went to the draft. Man. He was supposed to be a first rounder.
Jason, first round slip.
A couple other things, real quick, before I let you go. Give me your sense of the current state of the Memphis Tiger basketball roster.
Getting better. Probably better. You know, right now, and I'm sure we were at this point last year at some point where we were, oh, no. I mean, it's kind of, okay, I can, is they in danger? I mean, we were probably questioning or asking at least the same questions. You know, you can see what Penny's done here. And I'll give him credit for is, man, I figured it was going to be so hard to get anybody, once you've waited this late, reserved money, hoping to get P.J. Haggerty, you've gotten in the race late for the other guys that could come in and sort of fill the void if he's leaving. And you find that out just, you know, really days before the portal closes for guys to get in with PJ's decision to do that. And so I'll give Penny a lot of credit. I mean, we know who these players are. Now, you know, this discussions we'll have up until, you know, through July and this summer and everything, is how's it going to look together? It was the same questions we were asking. Well, how are PJ and Tyrese going to work together? You know, in the offseason, we were asking those questions because they were both used to having the ball in their hands. Well, it worked out. Now, the issue is, it's 50-50 here. You're gambling at best, having to replace so much all the time. But again, what you lament now is that it used to be, look, you lose a guy because he wants to go to a better conference or something. Maybe I need to go prove it in this conference, or, you know, he's fallen out of love with you. He didn't shine in your program. This is because you don't have enough money. And so there's a part of me too that just laments this, that it's out of Penny's hands. And so I know, you know, and I guess I agreed with Jeff Goodman at the time to take that they had lost the most, because PJ Haggerty is a second team AP All-American. But as I said, when John was asking about what Jeff had, you know, had said, you know, you have to include in that conversation that Memphis is at a point now where last year you're rich with between 4 and 5. This year you're poor in the sense that you can't even keep the guy you had a good season with. You won your conference with. He had a great season. He got a great relationship with Penny Hardaway, and yet it's out of Penny's hands in the sense that you can't afford him. And so I don't fault Penny for that at all. And frankly, I give him credit for the guys he's put together. Going to be hard to judge the rosters. The point to your question, to answer your question, Jeff, you know, and how it's going to come together until we get there. He's got to get another big. Feels like to me, because we're all thinking Dane Danger's case is, you know, it's thin. But, you know, I like, you know, the one he got from Ohio State certainly is intriguing. Former Kentucky guy that was a 5-star McDonald's All-American. Can you pull something out of him? You got to get more, though, inside. But so far, for when they had to get in the game to replace P.J. Haggerty, so far so good, I think.
And then finally, I don't want to keep you any longer, but finally, give me a brief preview of what you're going to say about the Grizzlies and Ja and last night.
Oh, I'm gonna let John do his thing today. I mean, whatever energy he's got, because now I tell you where I have moved, and I said it on our show. You know, I thought at one point this is a coaching fix or a veterans around big three fix, and having to now have been forced into this series, I think the conversation is broader of whether it's now, you know, a GM fix, a big three fix. Jeff, Utah, I mean, I heard you discussing it. You know, I hadn't considered a lot of whether Zach Kleiman is the guy for the job, because again, we've talked about his draft record so good. We had criticized him fairly for the acquisition side, the trade side. That's where you have failed to get it to the next level. And so here's the question. With this three, and I realized Ja got hurt yesterday, that was unfortunate and everything else, but they have not looked. I realize OKC, too, might be one of the best teams ever assembled, but this hasn't even been close. You're setting playoff records in losses, whether it's comebacks or game one losses. And even with Ja out, 26, 27, I think you built it to 29, whatever it was, they come back and win, and the two out of the three can't get it done with a 20-some point lead. And so I do think the conversation, Jeff, to wrap this up, has to be broadened to if this big three is it, right? Do you have to take one of them and see what you can get and move on? Do you have to blow the whole thing up, whatever it is? And then it goes back to Kleiman in this sense. Do I want him in an area that hasn't been, frankly, it's been a weakness in that trade department, being the guy that's leading us getting back? Remember Sam Presti, after they missed, now Kleiman didn't get it to these heights, but he ends up missing with his crew, right? KD, Westbrook, they had to let Harden roll, but he missed. Now they got close. He had to rebuild. But I think because of the drafts he had, the capital, the equity he had built up, remember Presti was young when he got the gig, but they were comfortable with, okay, you know, with